Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hey everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's great to have you company for another episode of the show. Now, if you're like me and you think about TikTok, you immediately think of people dancing and doing all sorts of crazy stuff online. And you might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with business? And specifically, what's it got to do with our practice? Well, as it turns out, quite a lot. And today I'm joined by one of Australia's most renowned TikTok experts. In fact, one of Australia's most prolific digital marketing strategists, Talia Datt. And Talia is going to be explaining in this episode the pros and cons and the different strategies around lots of different platforms, whether it be Instagram or Facebook or Google. But in particular, we're going to talk about TikTok and its place in a digital strategy for business. We talk about what the platform is and what it isn't, who's on it and who's not. And I'm going to tell you that I was surprised with some of the stats around this. And I had some misconceptions that Talia totally shattered for me. And it's opened my eyes to the opportunity that's there for dental practices. But equally, we're going to talk about how to create content for the platform because, of course, TikTok is a short-form video platform. And what Talia shares is a framework for creating content at ease and at speed. And we unpack the anatomy of a viral video. And so if you want to create engagement on any platform, you want to be able to create content that really speaks to your ideal patient. And she shares with you a strategy of how to do that. On top of that, she also shares some really cool tools that allow you to amplify your reach, the impact of your post, and so on and so forth. Now, if you want to find out more about Talia and the work that she does, head across to thesocialclick.com, and I'm going to encourage you to spell click with a C-L-I-Q. And on that website, she's got a whole host of information about all manner of digital marketing strategies, but a lot in there around TikTok as well. So I hope you find this episode really interesting and thought-provoking. And most importantly, I hope it challenges perhaps some misconceptions that you might have had, like me, about TikTok as a platform for business. So without any further ado, here's Australia's number one digital marketing strategist, Talia Datt. Talia Datt, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's wonderful to have your company here, and thanks for taking the time to join us all the way from sunny Melbourne.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been really looking forward an hour for us to getting to talk to you for some time because digital marketing and marketing in general is a topic that is big and broad and obviously really important. It's important for lots of different reasons, obviously to attract new business, but also to position yourself in the marketplace as an expert in your field and to even retain your customers, and in our case, patients. Before we get into all that digital strategy, I'm curious to ask about your own background because digital marketing is not something that you see, well, maybe you do today, but certainly when I was growing up, it's not something you normally see on a career form. How did you find your way into this space and what's that journey been for you?
Well, it's been a really interesting one because I started off doing a Bachelor of Commerce at university and quite quickly found that marketing was really something I was interested in. Yeah. But at university or the time that I was studying, digital was a part, but it wasn't the full picture, right? Mm. Whereas today, if you're running a business or you're launching a brand, digital is 90% of the part, I believe. And so what happened is I studied this at university. I quickly realized that I had a knack and an interest into it. And then as Instagram launched in 2018, Tap to Shop on Instagram, I found myself enrolling myself on online courses, just basically self-teaching myself in the digital space. Mm-hmm. And starting to freelance for a range of different businesses, local businesses, trying to understand and learn as much as I could about the social media and digital marketing space. Very quickly, we saw that there was a big need for digital marketers and people to advise businesses on the best way forward. And so we basically spent, a bit of time kind of readjusting our processes, making sure that we had the right market offering, and launched our agency towards the end of 2018. And we've just been building ever since. So really, at this point, we've currently worked with over 350 brands worldwide, including Fortune 500 companies. And every single client that we work with, we seem to learn more and more about the digital space, because it's not a one size fits all. But what we're learning is there's definitely some patterns that are showing through.
Most of the businesses that will be listening to this podcast are, you know, they're dental practice owners, and they'll be a pretty locally based business. How do you see digital strategy being different for a local based business versus a large, you know, company with, you know, huge budgets and huge reaches?
Well, the best part about a local business is that there's faces to the business itself, whereas these massive corporations don't have the ability to show who's behind the corporation or who's actually running the company or the business's values. So what I find that works exceptionally well when it comes to local businesses is that being able to understand the face behind the brand, understand who works in the practice, who, what they stand for, their values, and actually showcase and market it in that way.
I wanted to pull apart what a good digital strategy looks like, because again, I think for a lot of dentists and practice owners listening to this, we hear so much about this platform or that platform, and I get lots of questions, I'm sure you do, is like, should I be on TikTok or should I be on Instagram or should I be here, should I be there? What about blogging? Is that still the thing, or and so on? And all of those might be useful for a particular business, but they've got to be part of a cohesive strategy. So before we get into the tactics, can we just have a little talk about the elements of what makes a good strategy for a locally based business?
Absolutely. So I think there's four components to a great strategy for a local business. The first is social media, and organic and paid social media. Mm-hmm. And in particular, when we're trying to talk to consumers, I believe that TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook are probably your best platforms to get out of there, right? You're essentially creating that need amongst your audience. You're making them aware. And I mean, you can easily target for just local based consumers. So, I mean, we know realistically for local businesses, people aren't prepared to travel huge distances unless you're absolutely spectacular or offering a unique service. So you have that ability to speak to people within your area via an organic following or through your paid social media. The other component that I think would be great for a local business is, of course, utilizing Google, right? Now, especially Google locations. If someone was to type into Google, dentists near me or practices near me, you want to show up and be there as one of the first options because you are a local business. Mm. And we do that through Google AdWords and Google optimizations in order to make sure that you can sit there. So I would sort of be looking at that organic social media presence, that paid social media presence across TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. And then, of course, look at Google as an opportunity to market to people who are already looking for a practice in the area.
Is there a difference with those platforms from, say, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and then across to Google? Is there a difference in buyer intent across those platforms? Or do each of those platforms serve a different purpose? Is, you know, creating awareness and taking people down the funnel, I suppose. Where does each of those platforms sit in terms of the customer journey?
Absolutely. So I would say TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook definitely sit at that brand awareness consideration level, yep. Right? And the reason is because you're essentially educating consumers about yourself, about your offering, about the practice at hand. Mm. At that point, you're almost creating that need as to why they need to see someone at your practice.
Yeah.
And then as you move through the funnel, I feel as though Google definitely comes more into play, because people already now know that they need a dentist, right? They know that they need an oral hygienist. They know the different types of people that they need at this point, and they're looking for the best business to basically satisfy that need, and that's when they're searching in Google and you're basically coming up.
Great. Okay. So I love that. So it's not one or the other. It's a case of each of those platforms serving a different need and then advancing the sale as we go. And in our definition, advancing the sale is generally making a call and making an appointment, right? Can we talk about which demographics you might target on each of those platforms? Because frankly, across Meta platforms. I'm, you know, decent at Instagram, pretty comfortable on Facebook. TikTok, probably not my strong suit, but that doesn't mean it's not a useful platform. Who's hanging out on each of those platforms, and where are the audiences coming and going to, and where does each of those platforms fit into the demographics of who you're trying to attract?
So believe it or not, and this is a misconception with a lot of people, but TikTok's average age currently sits at 32 years of age, right?
Yeah.
Which shocks many, many people as soon as I throw out that statistic.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'm surprised by that. I was thinking 22.
Yeah. And the breakdown is essentially 60% female, 40% male on TikTok at this current time. What we're seeing with TikTok is what we saw with Instagram a few years ago. Essentially, new adoption of a social media platform happens with the younger generation, always. It's the new, hip, young thing. No one's parents are on it. It's cool. It's probably marketed to that younger demographic. But eventually, so many of the younger demographic are on this platform that parents have no choice but to migrate to that platform in order to keep up to date with what their kids or people in their community are doing. This is the cycle that we've seen with Facebook, the cycle that we've seen with Instagram, and currently the cycle that we're seeing with TikTok. So despite the misconception that TikTok is for a younger audience, it actually is building every single year. And I believe that businesses have an opportunity like Instagram had in 2018 in order to build a community very cost efficiently as this migration is basically occurring. In terms of Facebook and Instagram, Facebook is definitely an older audience at this current time. Anyone below the age of 25 really doesn't have a purpose for TikTok and probably doesn't have it. I don't know many 25-year-olds today that have a TikTok account.
Yep.
Instagram, on the other hand, definitely has a much wider range, right? You still have a younger audience on Instagram as well as that older audience and that kind of next generation adoption. And so it's very, very broad when it comes to Instagram.
If you're thinking about building a business and thinking about your consumers in dentistry, frankly, in many respects is for some people a grudge purchase. No one loves to spend money at the dentist because there's other things they'd probably rather do. And typically the people who do spend money on their teeth are those who are a little bit older because they've had a bit more wear and tear. They've been around the block a few more times and maybe there's some more issues that need to be attended to. Where would you likely find that? Is that, again, Instagram and Meta, do you think? Is that really the two platforms that you'd be thinking mainly for a dental practice?
Definitely, but I wouldn't write off that younger generation because I feel like there's an opportunity to make younger people aware of their teeth and certain services that actually apply to them for prevention, right?
Yep.
You don't want to sort of be satisfying that need when someone has issues. If we can prevent early on, I feel like that is a really good approach into building relationships with your customer base. I would be using TikTok to actually make a younger audience aware, start building that relationship so when the time does come, it's a no-brainer which practice they're going to.
Do you find that when people reach a certain age, do they stay on that platform? Are you expecting people to stay on TikTok and the other Meta platforms to kind of lose a little bit of relevance, perhaps as people age? Or do you see people migrate from TikTok onto an Instagram or maybe a Facebook later? Or do they just, are they fairly platform centric?
They're fairly platform centric. I feel like if a generation is hooked onto a particular platform, they generally stay on that platform until the next platform sort of comes out and there's that migration. We rarely ever see people move backwards. You know, once they're kind of on TikTok, go back to Facebook. It rarely happens because TikTok's the latest trendy sort of platform, whereas Facebook's kind of interface and the way in which you use it seems outdated to those that are already native to TikTok.
Yeah, got it. So TikTok is obviously a platform for short form video. Short form video has gone ballistic, right? It is, really, really being favored by algorithms of all different platforms. So can you talk to us a little bit about the value of short form video versus perhaps traditional longer form content?
Essentially, in today's day and age, people are scrolling at such a fast rate and they're viewing contents as fast as possible. Most teenagers or millennials are basically watching most YouTube videos on 2 or 3 times. They're watching their lectures. They're watching any sort of classes on a much faster rate because that's how we've been taught to consume content. So this short form type of content is a way in which you can get the right sort of message, you can grab the right sort of attention for a short period of time and get what you need to across without losing the interest of your audience. Whereas that longer form content, often we see that drop off occur. Yeah. The interest definitely slowly dwindles. And it's interesting when you actually watch the video playthrough rate, as we advertise for hundreds of brands, we see that honestly, we see a big drop off at the 5 second mark. Now, we know that at 5 seconds, you can't get the right information across. But if you can hook someone in for those 5 seconds, amazing.
Yeah.
And then continue the video, that is probably best practice. But I wouldn't keep the video going for longer than 30 seconds at a maximum because you'll lose them again too.
Let's talk a little bit about how to create short form content because there'll be a lot of people listening to this going, yeah, that just sounds great, but the tactics, the practicalities, the whatever, how do I do it? How often should I do it? What's a good short form video strategy look like? How often should I be publishing? Because if people are scrolling so quickly, do I need to be, publishing at a really rapid rate? What's your thoughts on all of that?
I completely acknowledge that creating short form video is very time consuming, right? It's 100% worth it, but it is time consuming. So to be realistic with that, we tell brands to almost post every second day because we feel as though that's obtainable. We sort of look at a combination of proactive content and reactive content in making up our strategy. So proactive content is content that you can almost pre-record and post at any given time and it remains relevant.
Yeah.
Think about your customer testimonials, your employee-generated content. So I don't know if you've seen, but there's a massive trend on TikTok that getting employees involved in content definitely performs exceptionally well for business owners and brands. So part of that proactive process is essentially recording things that you can pre-record, such as your day in the life, your testimonials, that employee-generated content, whereas your reactive content is when you see a trend occurring on that particular day, you should jump on that trend and create a video very quickly with that trending audio, with that trending sound, with that trending transition in order for you to actually be featured on the TikTok For You page. So we always say be as proactive enough to have an ability to be reactive when you need to be. And a combination of both is what's going to actually set your account apart and actually build a viewer base that are loyal to your account.
Why is it that some videos seem to just go absolutely nuts? What is it that separates a viral video from an ordinary video? Is there a science behind it or is it a bit of dumb luck?
There is a bit of dumb luck for sure, but the reactive pillar really helps with that. What we see, if we look at all the pieces of content that we've created that have gone viral, they have one thing in common, right? And that is the audio at the time was trending on TikTok. So we were looking at what was trending from a sounds perspective and utilizing that sound, which meant that TikTok then saw it as a great piece of content that's relevant at that moment to our audience and therefore promoted it. Not paid, but just promoted it on their general news feed because the audio was relevant at the time. So where we see content go viral, it's when they're utilizing audios and sounds that are trending on that particular day.
Wow. Okay. So there is a bit of science behind that, looking at the trends, looking at what's happening, looking at what audio is going to be the most relevant at that particular moment. So the reason I'm bringing this up is for practice owners who are kind of trying to run their business, trying to manage team, trying to look after their patients, trying to, and then go, oh gosh, how do I, you know, keep abreast of the audio trends on TikTok in this example? How do people stay abreast of that? Is there a data source for that? How do you look up the trending music and the trending audio?
So there is an app called TrendTalk, right? Which, yep, I highly recommend, and it will generally give you some trending sounds, trending transitions, and basically reports on that. But for me, I would say best practice is essentially scrolling on TikTok for 10 minutes a day, and you'll easily be able to identify what the trends are,
yeah,
right? If you see an audio, if you're scrolling on the For You page for 10 minutes and you see an audio come up three times or more, you know that that sound is trending and therefore is something that you can utilize. So you can either look to the app and take advice from the app, or by just simply scrolling, you'll be able to identify those trends very quickly.
One of the other misconceptions, I believe, around TikTok is a lot of dentists will say, you're never going to get me dancing on TikTok, right? You know, I'm a professional, I'm a healthcare provider, please don't ask me to do a silly dance because I'm going to feel stupid, look stupid, and I'm not going to do it. I know TikTok is clearly way more than dancing. So what type of content do you want to put in your videos?
I would say employee-generated content, so getting your employees to showcase the behind the scenes of a day in their life,
yep,
what it's like to be a practice manager, what it's like to be a assistant, whatever those types of roles look like, that piece of content works exceptionally well. I also say that content such as educational pieces, so explaining through types of unproportionate sort of diseases that come about, or
sure,
types of things that you're consistently seeing, and actually explaining that works exceptionally well. Explaining the process works really, really well on TikTok. Showcasing your service offerings, like what you specialize in, who your ideal client base is. We generally find that all these types of pillars work really well in actually, yeah, generating a successful campaign on TikTok. The last component that I think is crucial to discuss is user-generated content,
yep,
and that element of social proof. And that's where you've essentially got testimonials or customers or people basically featuring in your content to showcase that this is a legit service, this is something legitimate that you want to utilize to add that element of almost social expertise to it.
Is a video that performs well on TikTok, sorry, going to automatically perform well on Instagram, or is there a difference between the types of short form video?
There's definitely a difference, right? TikTok refers to themselves as an entertainment platform, whereas Instagram refers to themselves as a social media platform. So TikTok content definitely has to entertain more so than Instagram content does. Yeah. Now, what we find is some TikTok content is relevant on Instagram, but almost no Instagram featured content is really relevant on TikTok.
Got it.
And so ultimately, you've got to make that call. And I think the best way to do so is test and try a few creatives. Create a creative that you think will work well on both Instagram and both TikTok. And then basically, yeah, test it out and see if that performs well or not.
Cool. So the old test and measure never fails, does it?
Yeah.
The numbers tell the story. And I think that's the key, isn't it? You've got to be data driven on this. I wanted to ask you for a moment, Talia, about security, because I think a lot of people listening to this might go, well, I'm just not comfortable around that. So what's your take on that? What's your feeling about that? Is it a legit concern, or do you feel, obviously you're on the platform, so you probably feel okay with it. So how do you address that to people who might be having some concerns?
I feel as though it's the same as all other platforms, ultimately. I have spent the last 6 years working across Meta, Google, TikTok, and they all have the same information on you. So if Meta or Google haven't bothered you, I don't believe TikTok should. I understand that there are different sort of governments involved. Is it worth sort of putting your business in the position that it can't benefit from the platform because of the potential? I don't think so. At this point, we feel as though, and we haven't had any security issues, we feel as though everything that we're doing on the platform works exceptionally well, and it's an opportunity for businesses to basically take advantage. And should more information come out, or should we proceed in another direction and we think that there's bigger issues, well, then in which case we'd relook at the strategy. But at this time, I feel as though this sort of idea of the security being an issue shouldn't be an issue or stop you from being on the platform.
Where do you see the future of X, you know, formerly Twitter, Elon Musk's plaything? You know, it's never been a huge part of my business strategy in the past. I have a Twitter account, or X account, I suppose. It's been dormant for some time and I haven't really done much with it. Do you see it getting a new lease of life as X versus Twitter? Do you see it having a role in a business strategy? Or do you think it's largely irrelevant?
I think it's becoming irrelevant because of the ability of AI, and essentially the ability for AI to write tweets or write short form or long form pieces of content, whereas video content, where it stands, is it remains entirely unique and up to the individual. And so therefore, I'm a bit concerned about written content long term, unless X sort of diversifies into more visual content. It's probably not going to be a strong player in the market.
And while we're talking about AI, what about AI-generated, or soon-to-be AI-generated video content, all those sorts of things? Because, yes, ChatGPT, you know, probably large language models, came out a little over a year ago to the general public, but it won't be that long before we see your video-based content, you know, being created by AI. What's your thinking around that?
I think take advantage of it. It provides an opportunity and it helps businesses to basically utilize these channels around us. In saying that, I wouldn't take it verbatim. Like, essentially, when I put something into ChatGPT, it's a starting point for me. Yeah. It's not the end for me. It still looks or feels robotic in
it
some
sure
way,
does, yeah.
But it does help and provide ideas or provide a starting point. So even with video content, I think what you'll see is potentially it'll provide that starting point, or provide you with the opportunity to basically edit certain videos, but ultimately there's going to have to be a human touch or a human strategist behind it driving that point of difference.
So just while we're talking about AI, and going back to paid traffic, and obviously we've seen AI, you know, generated ads versus human generated ads. How do you see the role of AI impacting paid traffic and the need for creatives and copywriters and people that can put together great headlines and great hooks and all those sorts of bits that normally go into an ad? What's performing better at the moment, AI generated ads or still the human generated ads? What are you seeing in the paid traffic area?
Definitely a combination, right? So I think asking AI for ideas from a headline perspective when it comes to copy is a great starting point, but then looking at that headline and humanizing it, I think, is essentially part of the process. Otherwise, the headlines that AI just generate at this point do feel a bit scripted, and they do feel very much same, like that we do see that level of repetition. But as I said, it provides great ideas, great hooks, great USPs, whatever that might be for the product. And so therefore utilizing it is a no-brainer, but not looking at it as this is what I'm going to implement, looking at it as, okay, this is a great starting point, I'm going to edit and refine it for paid traffic as well. With paid at the moment, what we're finding brilliant with AI is that its ability to actually track and report is making our analytics a lot stronger, and also providing almost feedback on creatives is working very, very well. But as I said, yeah, we just don't take it as the whole picture. It's a part of the picture, and there's that element of human strategy that definitely gets involved as well.
So, Talia, we've spoken a lot about the different platforms, but obviously we need some content to put on these platforms. Do you happen to have a way that you can consistently produce content that's, you know, relatively easy to do, understand, execute, all that sort of stuff? How do you create content quickly?
Definitely. So, I mean, the best way to create content is utilizing a range of apps, such as TikTok. CapCut is a great tool. It basically imports the TikTok trends, tells you what you need to video and fill in those gaps, and then posts it on your behalf. So utilizing all the tools around you is exceptionally important in order to build the perfect piece of content. In my research, I've actually almost created the perfect model for a great piece of content. And essentially what we look at is start off with a hook. So that's essentially a single line that grabs someone's attention, mm-hmm. introduce then the problem, mm-hmm. followed by a failed solution, then intro the product or service, right? That of course is the solution to the problem in the first place.
Yeah.
And then introduce kind of the key features of that practice, of that product, the benefits, demo a portion of it, showcase the desired end results, and then have a really strong call to action. If you can create a single piece of content that incorporates that model and that breakdown, it's essentially going to be your ticket to success.
I love that. That's a great structure. And, I know that's based on a lot of research, but I think from a copywriting point of view is like, that's gold. So ladies and gents, please just copy those points down. And when you're creating your content for whatever platform you're going to be on, use that format because it's really, really tried and true and it works and there's the data to back it up. Tyler, you've been incredibly generous with your time. I know there'll be a lot of people who want to find out more about your agency, what you do, how you work and so on. Where's the best place for people to find you if they want to inquire about working with you or just find out more about your resources? Where would you like people to find you?
Absolutely. You can find me personally on TikTok at Talia Dat, on Instagram _ at Talia Dat, and LinkedIn at Talia Dat. And then you can find my agency, The Social Click, on TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn as well.
And let's just make sure we spell click correctly.
CLIQ. So we've got a shortened click at the end.
Love it, love it. Talia, thank you so much again. Again, this is a really interesting topic. And as I said, I feel like we could talk for 300 days or more on this sort of topic alone. But what I appreciate that you've shared is really practical, really implementable, and some really good insights based on actual experience at the coalface. So again, I appreciate all your help and I appreciate all your wisdom and insight. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Jesse. Keep doing great things.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.